Coming up on Patriots This Week, New England versus New York.
It always comes out of the end with them.
This would be no different.
That's the way these games are. You can't worry about what happened in the first 58 minutes.
A costly injury marred a promising start. A giant disappointment loomed. It was deja vu all over again. But this was a perfect storm.
It's fun to be in those situations.
The perfect Patriots needing a perfect kick from the kicker who's been perfect all season.
You're one play away from trending on Twitter as the number one loser in America.
It was perfection. A nemesis vanquished.
Anytime you can beat a good team on the road and have the fans go home quiet, it's a blast.
After the big blue, are you ready for some bluster? That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Once again, compelling football theater between the Patriots and the Giants. This time around, though, a much happier ending for New England. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Chatham and my radio broadcast partner, of course, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak. And, guys, what a game on Sunday. The Giants take the lead, 147 to go. Tom Brady leads New England downfield, and Steven Gostkowski caps it with a 54-yarder.
This had the feeling of Super Bowl 49. It really did. The team was down by 10, first time they've been down by double digits. You lose another guy. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago it's Deion Lewis. This past week, Julian Edelman. But to see the resolve, and when Brady's not absolutely perfect. Now, that last drive, he was hot. He got it going. But, I mean, Tom will tell you, he's got to protect the ball better. The interception, the forced fumbles on him, the strip sacks. When he's not going, it's nice to see other members of the team, like the defense, step up in that goal line stand.
Yeah, I actually had like a little bit different feel from this, that I agree in all the sort of spots that they hit, but there were a lot of opportunities where I think they're quite fortunate to have won. And I think that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think
no,
that's okay.
Fortunate.
Yeah, I think that's okay as a team, because you have to go through this when you face a little adversity. I think they played that well, quite frankly. Having a holding call on the 1-inch line that moves you back and then throwing a pick the next play later. On the drive that we're all going to remember, we're going to forget that Landon Collins dropped the interception, Tom threw right in his chest. So, again, to have something bad.
People keep killing Brady for that, too. He got croaked on that play. He couldn't step into it. He's getting
protection
leveled.
Wasn't good. But my point is, they got you, when something goes your way, you have to capitalize on the NFL. And there were three or four moments in that game where, wow, that was not good. But then they responded. And that really tells you you've got a team.
Well, on that subject, hardened by a 10-point deficit, coming back, winning a game like that, as opposed to cruising through victories 1-8.
Yeah, you got to be able to, if you're going to play this team, this Patriots team, not only do you have to be toe-to-toe with them in the fourth quarter, when they deliver their best shot, you got to hit them back and punch them in the mouth. And the Giants didn't do that. And I think that's why Coughlin, to your point, Matt, was so upset after that game. We're there. Just finish it. Make the interception. Or Odell Beckham, catch the ball. I thought that was a catch. You know, I mean, this rule of what is a catch isn't a catch anymore drives me crazy.
We'll get
to the officiating. The officiating in this game, I thought Ed Hockley's crew was the worst crew we've seen in 3 years, really. I mean, it was atrocious. It was horrific, god-awful calls. I don't know what pass interference is anymore or a catch.
I looked at the Hockley crew, and I thought this crew should not have a playoff game. I mean, they should be docked and graded themselves.
That's a good point. Could you imagine in a pool, but loser goes home scenario, you're in a playoff game, divisional round, and you got that crew on a game? If I'm a coach, I'm putting diapers on because you don't know what's going to happen. It's crazy.
So let's get back to the final seconds of this game.
Okay.
Steven Gostkowski, 54 yards away, becomes the all-time leader in franchise history in field goals made, extends his consecutive field goals made streak, another Patriots record. You guys played with Vinatieri, maybe the greatest clutch kicker of all time. Many believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. What about Gostkowski? Is this his defining kick?
I think Adam had more flash kicks. Now, obviously, when you have five of what Steven did the other day, that's a little bit different. I think Steve's leg is stronger. I'm happy for him because there's been a lot of criticism, not criticism, but judgment, especially the offseason. Why would you ever franchise a kicker? That's why you franchise your kicker, because you don't worry about moments like that.
One thing that Gostkowski does bring to the table that is unique, not just to Adam, but really any kicker in the league, he has the accuracy field goal element, and he's also the best kickoff guy in the league. And that is so incredibly valuable to a roster because he just puts it in the stands every play.
Another guy, one of the best at what he does, Julian Edelman. Unfortunately, though, he's going to be lost, it looks like, for the regular season. Of course, had the foot surgery on the fracture after the game on Sunday, absent from the second quarter on. How much did the Patriots miss him? How much did that throw the offense out of sync?
It takes you back, because you go back to what happened the week prior with Deion Lewis. He goes down. Tom talked about trust, and, you know, you're not going to be able to replace not only Deion Lewis, but Julian Edelman's a little more important to the offense, I think, than Deion Lewis.
It's not just about Jules. It's about Jules and Lewis. It's the combination of the loss of the two that I think matters most, not just because of some stat sheet accumulation thing. It's situational football. And in those moments where you have to have it at third and four or third and seven, and you need a guy that always gets open at the sticks, especially in the event that Gronk grabs coverage, Jules was that guy. And if he wasn't that guy, you had the back out of the backfield that was the check down that would get the conversion. You've lost two conversion pieces, not catch passes pieces. That's, you can replace that. So how they sort of find it, I think they might migrate to more two tight end, quite frankly. I think you might see a ton more Scott Chandler and Gronkowski packages where you actually only have two wide receivers on the field.
When they needed a conversion on fourth and 10, final drive, it was Danny Amendola for 12 yards, and it was Amendola, of course, who set up the winning field goal with his play, catching them, curling back to the inside.
You keep making plays like that. Every time Tom goes to him, he doesn't have the opportunity for the ball to go through the hands. You know, it's the trust factor. Brady totally trusts him now, and the nice thing is they've been able to draw a lot of attention with Gronkowski, with Edelman, and, you know, Danny could kind of pick his way on the backside, and Tom will come back and stick it to him. Now he's going to be the number one go-to guy. So, I mean, I say that because Gronkowski sets coverage. But if you're going to move sticks, it's first and 10, let's get seven here, you're going to Danny on the underneath stick route.
The biggest play that that Danny Amendola had in the game, well, obviously, is the return. Yeah, I have to hit on that because none of these things happen. The final drive doesn't happen without the field position they got in that giant chunk. And it was at a time where the offense had stalled a little bit. So I think that's so important as the weather turns, the leaves are gone and down and now on the ground, and we start to get colder weather. So there's going to be more returns, less hang time, less distance on these balls. So finding that little element of the offense, and it is, even though it's a special team play, that's offensive production. And that matters because, you know, there's no more Julian Edelman. Remember, when he's the punt returner at these late season times, that's a bunch of offense you get as well. You now don't have that. So Danny contributing there as well as the stick stuff that Zoe mentions, that's very important.
So Amendola provided production. The offensive line gave Brady protection, at least for the most part, the final drive. Your impressions of the way the offensive line came through, patchwork as it was?
Doing what they had to do. I think Stork's battling out there, going up against guys like JPP, and that's a guy that, and I talked to Brian Stork after the game, he's like, man, I'm used to blocking nose tackles, defensive tackles. Now I'm out there, and I'm in another world out there on the edge. But you're a ball player, and you go and you battle. And the great thing about this team is the DNA, the makeup, that it's the one guy down, next guy guts up mentality. And you got the right guy calling the protections.
Talking about a guy with metal, Malcolm Butler, gave up the first completion, of course, to Beckham for 87. Not solely on him, but he comes back and competes. Really did a great job frustrating Beckham. And in the end, catch or no catch, broke up that play in the end zone.
I think one of the cool things that we got to hear in this game is you got to hear an analysis by the other team of what Malcolm Butler could do. We have a general respect for him and what he can do this year. I think when you heard Tom Coughlin talk about the quickness of his hands, his reaction speed, some of these things that don't show up when you just go to the combine, you run 40-yard dashes, you know. The idea that he has really great reactionary speed, even when he's an inch beat, he gets back in there and competes in the ball. We saw it in that first year training camp a year ago.
He's here every single play. Like, and as a receiver, it bugs you. I mean, you're smiling at, but like, it's frustrating to try and catch the ball.
Me right now.
He's a nag.
I want to punch though.
You watch Butler.
Yeah, that's
like,
why I'm smiling.
Butler becomes a nag in the games, and that's a compliment. I thought this was his best game of the year.
Patriots stay unbeaten against the Giants. Meanwhile, primetime audience watches the Bengals fall once again. More after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on second-year pro Malcolm Butler. The 5'11", 190-pounder's goal line interception preserved the victory in Super Bowl 49. And the 25-year-old from West Alabama continues to make big plays with the game on the line. Against the Giants, Butler's strip of Odell Beckham Jr. in the end zone forced the Giants to settle for a field goal, paving the way for a Patriots come-from-behind victory. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues. Guys, the Pats not only win, but they pick up ground in the standings over the Bengals and the Broncos in that race for the number one seed in the AFC. Cincinnati, two field goals versus Houston Monday night.
I had a lot of joy sitting there watching Cincinnati, and thank you for being Cincinnati. It's Marvin Lewis. It's Andy Dalton on Primetime TV. I think they're 5 and 17 or 5 and 15 in primetime games. It's not very good. So when everybody's watching, this is why we have this perception of Cincinnati. You remember the old Jacksonville teams. Hey, go 12-4, Byron Leftwich or David Garrard. Win your division, then come in here divisional round. It's kind of the way it sets up every year, I think, for Cincinnati. And I think Andy Dalton doesn't have thick skin, obviously. He's more bugged by what J.J. Watt said about him, which wasn't really a damning comment to begin with. And there's your quarterback standing there after a home loss against a bad Texan team, more worried about what a defensive lineman said about him. Very sensitive.
I think they had put all those storylines to bed with three, maybe even four, if you want to count the San Diego game performances, where they'd faced adversity, relatively high sort of market game, where they were in the spotlight, maybe not quite a Monday night, but they'd done this. They'd beaten this.
They're full strength.
They'd beaten this, and now they took a step back. And so psychologically, you wonder how they'll respond to this. Understand, now they go on the road and face Arizona in Arizona, a hot team that's just gone into Seattle and win. So that thing could sort of could snowball in a hurry. The interesting thing, though, that I think Belichick would probably caution us all. I know as players he would. They're still a very difficult matchup, and the reason I think they fell away last year was more injuries than anything. You still have to line up and cover Tyler Eifert, who dropped a lot of balls in that game for whatever reason. I have no idea. He hadn't had that issue before. You still have to guard A.J. Green. For whatever reason, since he has lost the running game, Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard have not been a factor. They've still got a very deep team, so they're still dangerous. Maybe they'll lay an egg. Maybe they won't. You still have to worry about them.
Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos go with Brock Osweiler this week after Peyton Manning breaks Brett Favre's all-time passing yardage record, but throws 4 interceptions versus 5 completions for a 0 quarterback rating.
Same thing we've talked about week to week, and maybe you could rest the guy for 2 weeks and he'll come back and he'll be able to fester up some sort of a good game or game plan against somebody, but I think the guy's done.
They need 3 more wins. They need to get to 10 and they need to get in the tournament, and they need Peyton healthy. If Peyton's not healthy, it's a waste of time. So I think they're in a situation now where they can take a long look at Osweiler, not lose so much ground that they won't still be in the tournament, and then fortunately potentially get a Sterling version of Peyton for 1 game or 2 games at the tail end of this thing. I think that's the best chance they have, and ride that defense until it happens.
When we come back, second time around for the Patriots and a division foe. Hopefully for the Pats, it'll be just as good as the first time.
All right, what's going on? Time now for your Zoe Show. Buffalo Bills coming to town, primetime showdown, Monday Night Football, Rex Ryan, Tyrod Taylor, that doesn't excite me. You know who does? Shady McCoy. LeSean McCoy. Let's take a look at this guy. Now, here we go. Got to stop the run. Number one priority for this defense. Watch his tackle right here. Whoop! That's a bad one. Keep your head up. Watch what you're tackling, because this guy has the ability to shake when he gets to the outside. This one's pretty impressive here. I want you to watch his cut. A little underneath give. Good block, and they seal the edge right there. And then, bam, he's right up on the safety. That's 2 plays in a row from 2 different teams. We've seen this guy break tackles down the field. Breakaway ability. Remember Deion Lewis, how he used to do this stuff? Take him outside, split him out, little slant round, boom, take him inside so he can run the ball, he can catch the ball, find out where Shady McCoy is. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues with a look ahead to Monday night's matchup between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. Guys, the Bills with a very emotional win for Rex Ryan last Thursday against the New York Jets. They come in to Gillette, try to even the score with the Patriots here in 2015.
I remember that game. I'd like to have 3 hours of my life back. I thought it set football back not only 10 years, probably about 20. Not only with the awful uniforms that they wore in that game, but, you know, Todd Bowles and his end-of-game decision-making, and Rex kind of was the beneficiary of it. And here comes the fist pumping. And I hope he'll come out for pregame warm-ups Monday night.
They're healthier again. McCoy is back where you expect him to be. Charles Clay, although didn't have any targets in that Jets game, not as much as I think he deserves. He's there, and Tyrod Taylor has a much better relationship with him than E.J. Manuel did. Sammy Watkins is growing, getting to be a better player. What he does against Darrelle Revis, which isn't much, is you can't grade him that way. I think you look in the weeks prior to that, and this is a guy who can pop just like OBJ a week ago. So I think you look at as a team that's a little more whole than the one that put them in the sort of record hold they're in.
I think LeSean McCoy is getting to his true form, his breakaway speed, his ability to cut, to turn things back inside. tackling from the defensive perspective, and the Patriots have been really good, Bob, against the run. I think this is one of those games where it's number one priority, stop the run first, put the game in Tyrod Taylor's hands.
And meanwhile, a lot less hole for the Patriots on offense. The offensive line, of course, very different than in week two. No Edelman, no Lewis in this game, like when the Pats had 500-plus yards of total offense up in Orchard Park.
Think back to that first time when they played and how frustrated Rex was and called out his own scheme and that, you know, he was mad that they passed so much. And you saw a relatively vanilla approach by them. I think this is an opportunity now for him where he doesn't have the overwhelming personnel. It's not just Darius Williams and the other guy. I think he has to get a little more creative. He has to go back and look what he did the first time around. He's got to say, hey, this offensive line is an unsteady unit with the Patriots, at least a little more unproven. I got to go after him. I only get two shots these guys each year. I'm going to be obsessed about it for the next 12 months if I don't do something this time. I think you're going to see Rex ball. I think you're going to see a lot of the goofiness, a lot of the skies, maybe everyone up and moving around. It'll be a great test for the offensive line.
Run it down their throat. I just want to see him line up, run it right down their throat. He said, you know what, run the ball next time. Do it to him. Run it down his throat. That'll kill him.
LeGarrette Blount has certainly come on for this team the last few weeks when they have looked to run the ball, had a very productive game 2 weeks ago, and ran it fairly effectively against the Giants as well.
I think the most important thing that they have on this team that they've not yet tapped is edge running, because Blount is a very good, if you just get him going. You know, when he tries to be slow, cut back behind the line of scrimmage, it doesn't go as well for him. But they have Mike Williams, and you have Gronk, who we've seen pancake block people week after week after week. Put those two in a YY set. YY is one tight end down, one next to him in a wing, and just run the edges. Run the edges. It stops pass rush. It makes life easier for the interior guys to block because the guys have to set down, and it puts your two best blockers with the run scheme that works best for your back. I think it's something they need to get Tom under center and have enough of these to shorten some of those second down
situations. Start sucking those safeties up too, and that's going to enable play action. Once you get that running game going, you're going to be able to get Gronkowski behind those guys.
If you look at the special teams matchup of this one, it's going to be a colder night in Foxborough. Could be a windier night. What kind of an advantage is that?
I think Coach Joe Judge and I think Ventrone is, they have done a nice job with the special teams unit, really. I mean, everybody is attention to detail, whether it's an onside kick, the return game. You know, you talked about the Amendola return last week in the punt return game. Checkmark, huge checkmark advantage New England in his football game.
Well, understand what happened to you, not to go back too much, but the Amendola play was actually not a setup return. So you have not yet seen the Patriots in sort of their heavy return look where we have a scheme return, we're going to try to do this sideline return or this counter type, whatever. We haven't gotten to see that. You just stole one. You got one on what essentially was not a return. They're letting the gunners go to him and say, you got to make a couple guys miss because we're really trying to force a bad kick and do something up front. So now you move into that segment of the season where you spend a lot more time in the special teams room because you understand you're a big part of the puzzle.
All right, one more segment to go. Guys will have their prediction and their game changer next when Patriots This Week continues after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Sharkandrick West had a monster game against an outstanding Denver defense last week. Now that he is Kansas City's chief running threat, start him this week when KC heads west to play the Chargers in San Diego. But sit Bears wideout Alshon Jeffrey when Denver comes to Chicago this week. Aqib Talib returns from a one-game suspension, so expect the Broncos to shut down Cutler and Chicago. If you need a sleeper this week, try Matthew Stafford. The Raiders' pass defense has been among the NFL's worst, so expect a shootout when Oakland and Derek Carr come to Detroit. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Scott Zolak, Matt Chatham. Prediction for Monday night, Patriots and the Bills, and your game changer.
I have the Patriots by 12 in this game, 31-19. A lot of field goals. This defense is going to do a nice job down the red zone. Game changer, Brandon LaFell on the backside. A lot of attention to Gronkowski, to Blount, and I think they're going to have a play-action day on that backside. A lot of slants.
I think we move into a segment now where the tempo changes. These games are going to start being a little more mild in the scoring. I'm going to go 27-16 Patriots, and I have a contingency plan. Chris Harper, now up from practice squad, was a sneaky good preseason story. I think he comes and has a nice game. Now, we're taping the show at a time where he might be inactive, so if he is, Blount's my guy with the running game.
He can't call two. Hey,
Blount had the huge game against the Bills 2 years ago. LaFell had a great game against Buffalo last year, so you might both likely are on the market. It's the Pats and the Bills this week, and we thank you for joining us. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Sosie. So long, everyone.